know somewhere over the rainbow, the bluebirds fly.
Can't get enough of Ray Charles. What Ray Charles could see when he was playing and singing was undoubtedly beautiful. He created timeless beauty throughout his long career as a singer, jazz, soul, and R&B artist. His blindness actually seemed to add a kind of crystal purity to his music. In our final conversation about beauty this week, we turn to someone whose sight doesn't get in the way of her understanding of what is truly beautiful. Georgina Klieg is an English professor at the University of California, Berkeley, and has written about how she sees the world and understands the abundant beauty in it.
I live in visual culture, so I know what people say about what's beautiful and what's not. But in terms of the kind of impact that people talk about when they talk about someone or something that's beautiful, I don't receive that.
As you were growing up, did you think there was a range of people's visual attractiveness? Could you tell that people were beautiful? Did you conclude that people were just neutral?
Well, I'll tell you a story. When I was about 20, I was sitting around the college dorm with a bunch of friends, and we were talking about another friend who happened not to be present, and somebody made a sort of disparaging remark about her appearance, and I was sort of surprised, and I said, "What do you mean? She isn't pretty?" And then they enumerated in great detail all the many ways that she deviated from what was thought to be pretty, you know, that her hair was this and her nose was that and, you know, all these many qualities. And I was a little shocked because I somehow had assumed that among my friends, prettiness was sort of the default condition. And the only thing that stood between my friends and supermodels and movie stars was that the supermodels and movie stars had access to better hair and makeup and clothes, and that if my friends had those resources, they would, you know, rank in the same condition. So I was kind of disillusioned by this. But in my defense, I think I had imbibed the cultural value that says that people who are young, particularly young women, are by default prettier than older people.
Why do you think your brain seemed to default to the idea that people are pretty unless proven otherwise, that you give everyone the benefit of the doubt or something?
If somebody was really unattractive or ugly, somehow it would have been mentioned to me, you know, that somehow something would have come through. But I have observed that people who conform to what the culture tells us is a beautiful appearance often exude a kind of confidence, and that in and of itself can be attractive. So I sometimes, when I'm, you know, when I have the opportunity, I will ask somebody, you know, when somebody leaves the room, I'll say, was that person a beautiful person? And judge my responses according to what other people tell me.
Does it mean you have a better ability to judge or to see beauty or think about beauty without a level of distraction that sighted people might have?
I don't want to mystify blindness. I know a lot of blind people, it's a relatively common practice for blind people. If they're going out to a bar or something, they may have a sighted wing person to, you know, direct them to the more attractive people who are present. And I know people, blind people, who are on online dating services, and they'll bring in a sighted friend to sort of rate the photographs that are there.
You describe in your essay that you learned at first about the importance of beauty because there was a real concern about, you know, keeping yourself neat, I guess, as you were growing up in your own family. What were you doing? You know, meeting some visual standard that you had no idea of?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a common experience for blind people, particularly blind children, that there's sort of sometimes an obsessive preoccupation with appearance and, you know, making sure that you're not engaging in any kind of behaviors that are going to be unsightly to people. And, you know, I mean, some of it is practical. It's like, how do you organize your clothes so that you make sure that your socks match and those sorts of things, and that there isn't a stain on your shirt, to really sort of obsessive things about not rocking your head from side to side and not doing things that are sort of assumed to be behaviors of blind people.
You're right, and this is very interesting, that beautiful people are stared at and blind people are stared at.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think disabled people in general, it's one of the universal experiences of disability, as you know, is that we attract the gaze. And for anybody who's wondering, is that that's something you can feel as much as see. I think every blind person is accustomed to walking into a room and or a store or whatever, and that there's that sort of silence, which is people looking. You know, I've been told that, you know, sometimes people will stare at a blind person and then look away because, you know, it's impolite to stare. But then the thought will occur to them, well, but yeah, I can stare because she can't see me staring. And so there's sort of a double take effect with blind people, which may not take place with others. And there's a whole subgenre of thrillers of the, you know, the blind slasher victim movie, where you have young blind women who are being stalked by bad men. I mean, the classic is Wait Until Dark with Audrey Hepburn. And I think part of the appeal of those movies is that you have this very, very beautiful woman, you know, movie star, who is up there on the screen, and she's beautiful, and you can gaze at her, but she can't look back, and she also can't manipulate you with her appearance. She can't see the effect that her beauty is having on you. So she's sort of all spectacle and without any control over it. And that seems to be very appealing to people. This plot keeps being repeated. And often in those movies, there's a scene where somebody comments on the fact about, oh, it's so sad that poor Audrey Hepburn is so beautiful and yet she doesn't know it. So there's sort of a poignance about that.
Well, it's great talking to you, beautiful.
Well, thanks, handsome. It was great to meet you this way.
Georgina Klieg is an English professor at UC Berkeley, author of the essay Beauty and the Blind, as well as several books, including Sight Unseen.
You are so beautiful. To me.
Hi, this is Leah from Texas, and my idea of beauty is your inner confidence showing on the outside and everybody picking up on it.
Laurie from Jacksonville, Florida. My beauty is as it is.
My name is Danny Sagan. I'm calling from Montpelier, Vermont. There is a mathematical proportion called the golden ratio. Its proportion is 1.6180339, and it keeps going. If something's beautiful, sometimes, more often than not, this number shows up.
You folks have helped us so much with our conversation on beauty this week. It's not too late to share a photo, tweet us at The Takeaway with the hashtag My Beauty Is, or by posting a photo to facebook.com/thetakeaway. Follow me on Twitter. I'm Jay Hockenberry, or listen back to anything you heard today on thetakeaway.org. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
You are so beautiful.
Support for The Takeaway comes from the Henry Luce Foundation for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia, and the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable developments in communities across the country.
PRI, Public Radio International.